Hi, this is Apostle Guillermo Maldonado. Welcome to my podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I pray that this message empowers you in your walk with God and in your purpose. Enjoy.
Do you want to overcome crisis in your life? I want to say it again. Do you want to know how to respond and overcome crisis in your life? Okay, let's go to the scriptures. The book of Job, chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. Those that are watching, I want you to text somebody and tell them you need to connect. King Jesus Ministry is already online. It's ready to go. And I'm going to talk to you about crisis. Let me ask you a question. Besides the big crisis that we have with the virus and all that, how many of you are facing crisis in your life? I want to see your hands. Okay, for example, your crisis is not my crisis. If you have some crisis in your marriage, if you have some crisis in your health, some crisis in your finances, every crisis, every person has different crisis. But let me ask you a question again. How many of you, some people, crisis is somebody that took the parking lot. That's not a crisis, my friend. I'm saying, how many of you have some crisis before and now? Come on, let me see your hands. I want to see your hands. I would say 99%. Unless you're Superwoman, Superman, so you don't have no crisis, I think you need to go home and talk to heaven. So now let's go to the scripture, Job chapter 5, verse 6. Let's read it together. Although, come on, 1, 2, 3, go. No, but you need to say it louder. I know you need to speak louder because of the mask. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust. In other words, affliction doesn't appear from the dust like, oh my God, I'm sick now. Because it came from the dust? No. Neither, what? Doth trouble spring out of the ground. Okay, you know what that means? You know what that means, those that are watching and you're here? Trouble, affliction, doesn't just come. It just doesn't appear like, some people said, oh, I'm sick. Well, that is not just thing to come. And then in verse 7, and then he said, yet man is born unto trouble. Yet man is born unto trouble. I'm going to speak to you this morning, and I'm going to get into how to respond or how to overcome crisis. But this morning, I will be focused on the origin of crisis. I mean, I'm going to start opening the statement saying the introduction to my message. There are some questions that we're going to ask. What is a crisis? What are the effects of crisis? What is the purpose of crisis? And what is the present crisis is from? Is it from God or the devil? What do we do when God allows things to come in our life? What do we do when crisis coming is come from the devil? And also how to respond, how to be prepared for crisis. I've been preaching for the last 5 years. I've been preaching on different messages. If you've been coming to this church and ministry, I've been preaching for the last 5 years. And every message that I've been preaching have been a preparation for the times we're living in now. Somebody can respond to that, amen? Okay, every message that I've been preaching you, every message has been a preparation for what is coming, for the times we're living in now. Can I hear an amen on that? So it had been the preparation. So prophecy, message of prophecy on prophecy and revelation of what God has given me has prepared you, because that's what prophecy does, prepares the people for the future. If I tell you now, in prophecy, you're going to be a multimillionaire tomorrow. You prepare yourself, right? So you prepare. When crisis come, you prepare for that. Prophecy prepares you. In other words, and every message contained, every prophecy I release from this pulpit contain what you need to overcome that crisis. What I'm saying, don't let the enemy lie to you and say you don't have it. Lift your hands and say, I have it. No, but say it louder. Come on. I have it. You have the impartation, you have faith, you have the anointing, you have the knowledge how to respond to crisis. Can I hear an amen? If it wouldn't be in those messages, I don't think many people would have made it. I'm going to say it again. Because the word, the revelation, the prophecies that I've been teaching you, it have been a preparation for this. And I will say this humbly, the very few preachers and pastors that are preparing the people to overcome things in life. Most of the time, it's just messages of encouragement, messages of the milk of the word, but there's no direction, correction, direction, guidance into you. So I would say that I've been here as your pastor, as an apostle, preparing you for the times we're living in. I have deposited over you. I have deposited time. I have deposited messages, and we cannot deny it. Remember, I've been teaching you about the times we're living in now. I've been teaching you about it. Can I hear an amen? So I will see that now is the moment and is the time to prove that what I taught you is the truth. I wish I can hear an amen in the back. I'm going to say it again. Now is the moment, now is the time to prove that what I taught you for the last 5-7 years is the truth. Because you will not understand something is revelation to you unless you experience it, unless you obey it. The only reason you will be in a case now that you are in crisis is because if you did not obey, or you have not obeyed what I taught you. So God has been building your faith to this moment. So I encourage you to go back to the bookstore, get those messages, read the books again, and rebuild your faith. So can I hear an amen, people? So the message is this. The message of faith to you is this. You have it. You have what it takes to overcome your crisis, any type of crisis you have. Can I hear an amen, people? So I believe the church in general was not prepared, not mentally or spiritually, for the moments we're living in. Can I hear an amen on that? So in other words, the church in general, because there was no preparation, they were not, the pastors and the leaders had not the now word to prepare them ahead of time. By the grace of God, God always, in 30 years of ministry, has given me to be the pioneer, to give me the word ahead of time to prepare the people. Well, I remember when I was teaching deliverance 20 years ago in the city, I was so criticized and rejected because people didn't like deliverance. They didn't want deliverance. So I prepared the people ahead of time. And now the people, they receive the messages. But my point to you is that I prepare you for this time. You don't have no excuse. Now you need to respond. How to respond to crisis. In other words, say with me, I have what it takes to overcome. Can you say it louder, please? Okay, now, let's define, and that's my introduction to that. So when crisis hit on the earth, man seeks to God or seeks to something or place and things to for security. In other words, look for things. Those unbelievers, they look for science. They look for something that they can be feel protected and secure. But the problem is when a crisis comes and is above and beyond their control, they can't go to man. They can go to things because this is impossible. This is a very impossible situation, and it's very hard for me to overcome it. So I want you to write this wisdom seed, those that are watching and those that are here. Please keep connecting. I want to see 4,000 people connected now. Plus, call somebody and call your neighbors and say, please, I need to know how to overcome crisis. Because everybody has a crisis. Job said it. He said, everybody was born for trouble. In other words, no matter who you are, you're going to have a day of trouble. I'm going to say it again. No matter who you are, young adults, you're going to have a day of trouble. Maybe for the young children, is somebody that is missing something, that somebody stole his toys. That's his crisis. You know, somebody, a young adult, senior, and they said that somebody, you know, everybody has their crisis. Can I hear an amen? Women have their crisis. Men have their crisis. So, you know, whenever you see a man like 50 years old driving a Porsche and a long hair and an earring, and you said, oh, he's in crisis, bro. Can I hear an amen, people? So can you lift your hands and say, every man was born to trouble. But say it louder, come on. Because Job just said it. He said, we were born to trouble. In other words, everybody, the earth is set for trouble. In other words, the day of trouble, everybody will have a day of trouble. No matter who you are, no matter if you're rich, poor, you're going to have a day of trouble. The thing is not that everybody's going to have a trouble. The thing is, how do you respond to trouble? How do you respond to crisis? And that is the revelation I will give you this morning for you to fight back. Touch your neighbor and tell him, fight back. Okay, so are you ready, people? So men, all crisis, write this down, all crisis get the attention of men. So God meets man in his crisis. I'm going to say, all crisis gets the attention of man, so God meets man on his crisis. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. You will see, for example, how men, for example, God met Jacob in his crisis. God met David in his crisis. God met Joseph in his crisis. In your crisis, you're going to meet God. In your crisis, you're going to find out that your God is all possible. You will find out. In other words, if you don't have no crisis, you don't have no way to know that your God is supernatural. If you don't have no crisis, so don't curse your crisis. Bless your crisis. So, in other words, what I'm trying, all crisis get the attention of men. In other words, when all this shaking is taking place, get the attention of men. So God meets man in their crisis. God meet Joseph in the pit. Where God met you? Where God met you? I remember where God met me. I was so depressed and oppressed and obsessed and possessed. And I was so down. And God met me there. He said, hey, I'm here. How are you? He said, oh, yeah, but I got so many people talking to me about Jesus. They talked to me in college. They talked to me in the school. They talked to me everywhere. And I said, no, God, I don't need God. I don't need God. I don't need God. When my crisis hit, and I said, oh, I need God. Oh, somebody's here. Okay, suddenly you want to come to church. There's a lot of families that in this crisis, they have received Jesus. In this crisis, a lot of family, they said, oh, you know what? I know God said, I will meet you in your bankruptcy. I will meet you in your sickness. I will meet you. Oh, yes, yes. Can I hear an amen, people? So God, all crises get the attention of men. Oh, when I was fine, when you have a good job, the bank account is full, and everything is, so God has allowed crises. That's the key word. God has allowed things to come to test your heart and to say, okay, do you love me? All right, so are you ready, people? So Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, and I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Write the word acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In other words, you need to repent. You need to acknowledge that you really made a mistake. You need to acknowledge those that are watching. You need to say, I take responsibility for my errors. And then he said, and in their affliction, they will seek signs. Let me help somebody here, please. Okay, in their affliction, they will seek me. In this crisis, or this coronavirus, everybody's talking about the God of the Bible. They don't want to talk about Muhammad. They don't want to talk about Buddha. They said the God of the Bible. in this crisis. And then he said, they will seek me early. In other words, in their sickness and their issue, family issue, they will look at me and say, God, science doesn't have the answer. Hey, hallelujah. So I have seen testimonies after testimonies, all men that are now looking for answers, and nobody has the answers. Science doesn't have the answers. So in every crisis, there's always a remnant people. In every crisis, there's always crazy Holy Ghost talking, spirit-filled, blood-bought, crazy praiser, worshiper that say, you know what? I will not conform to fear. I will not look at crisis. I will see crisis as an opportunity. Touch your neighbor and tell him yes. Come on, say yes. So in every crisis, there's people that stand in faith. In every generation, there is always a Noah. In every generation, there is always a David. In every generation, there is always a Paul. In every generation, there is always an Apostle Maldonado. There is always somebody. There is always you. Say your name. There is always somebody that refused to say, this crisis, I will overcome. I'm not going to conform to fear. I'm not going to conform to sickness. I'm not going to conform what the doctor has said. I will believe God. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. I love it. I only got 20 minutes. Okay, now the question is, okay, let me give you an example. The question is, you saw the introduction. That's my introduction. My introduction. Touch your neighbor and tell him, my introduction. So this is awesome to understand. Everybody has a crisis. You know the word crisis for in Japanese and Chinese is the word opportunity. Hey! Opportunity. They said they fire me from my job. They don't see it as they lost their job. They say, opportunity, opportunity. They say, the doctor said, I'm sick in my body. You say, opportunity. Opportunity for what? For God to glorify and show that he's my healer. So the Japanese, when they repossess your house, you say, opportunity, opportunity to get debt free. I guess you don't want that for you. So every crisis, there's an opportunity. Say opportunity. Shout it, people. Those that are watching, say opportunity. We need to get to 4,000 right now. So get an opportunity. 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 Say opportunity. So if you look things the way social media, the way fake media, the way they see things, they don't see it as an opportunity. In this crisis, the majority of millionaires are birth. Because they see opportunity. Oh, for somebody is a loss, for you is an opportunity. Touch your neighbor and tell him, opportunity, opportunity. Can you put your hand together and give Jesus a praise? In the middle of crisis, in the middle of pandemic, can you gonna praise God? Are you gonna say, I'm gonna praise? I'm gonna praise. Ah. Okay, now I'm do the combination. I got 60 minutes. I finish with this. Now we understand the introduction. We all have trouble. We're going to have affliction. The day of trouble is coming. If you don't have it now, it's coming. Because you just read it in the scripture. Now, what is the origin of the present crisis? Now that's powerful. What is the origin of this present crisis? Let's go. And let's go to the scripture, please. Or let's go. Let's before I give you the origin, let's see what is crisis. Crisis is an event. Write it down. Crisis is an event, circumstance, situation affecting your life and your environment that you know that you have not direct cause or responsibility. I'm going to say it again. Crisis is an event, circumstance, situation affecting your life, environment over which you don't have direct cause or responsibility. In other words, some crisis, what I'm saying is, in other words, there's something that invaded your environment. There's something that invaded your life, and that crisis came. And I want you to hear me very carefully. I need to run. Okay, some crises are self-imposed. They are external. They are results of changes, plans, and they are beyond control. Men's desire is always to have control over their crisis. But how well you prepare determines your response to crisis. So you cannot deny the fact that there is a crisis. In other words, we cannot deny the facts, but we have the truth. Can I hear amen? So what I'm saying is crisis is the source of creativity. Out of your crisis comes creativity. Crisis causes people the times we're living in. So I want you to understand, there is an invasion of a situation, an event, or circumstance in your life, in your environment. So I want you to see something. Whenever crisis comes, there's some effects. What are the effects? And you cannot deny it. Number one, recession is the first effect. Recession is when the economy retracts. Stop and go back. So as a recession, you will see that cause unemployment, the loss of jobs, millions of jobs. How many millions of jobs we lost in America and in the world? You see the closing of companies and all those companies that have been closed. I can give you a list of companies being closed now. So you see recession, the economic side. Number two, depression. This is another big word in a crisis, recession. Say recession. So recession and not depression. Depression is when the entire nation, the entire family, person, enters into a emotional and mental crisis. When depression hit the psyche of the nation, it changes. And as a result, we see fear, worry, trauma, hopelessness, sense of hopelessness, crime, domestic violence, mental illnesses. The Lord said to me, as the crisis intensifies, he said, many people will lose their mind. Just yesterday, or 2 days ago, there's a person that work in a secular job, and they said, Apostle, fellow worker, they just one day got the gun and committed suicide. It's just like that, because the mental illness, people cannot stand, people cannot persevere, people cannot, endure crisis. So I had to prepare you to endure crisis, to overcome crisis. Can I hear an amen? And the issue is, for many people, if their crisis, marriage issue, sickness is very long, there's a moment that they break, because every man has a breaking point. There's a moment that you say, I can't stand anymore. And they look for a temporal solution. They make a permanent decision and a temporal crisis. So the entire psyche of the nation become demonized. This is the moment where people are more demonized, because fear is in the air. Not love, fear is in the air. And they see they lose their job, and the bank repossessed their houses. People are dying of the virus. They see family members dying of the virus. So I want you to write this wisdom seed. Suicide is a permanent decision in a temporal crisis. In other words, because they can't handle it, they said, let me go for a shortcut. If I cut my life short and commit suicide, I would be better. No, you're going to hell if you do that. So let's be clear and transparent. Can I hear an amen in the back? So that we see effects, family issues, violence, domestic violence, and there's a balance today. And this, as your pastor, I need to bring the balance in the church. You see the effects of the economical effects. So you, the question, the balance is, will have more death in a lockdown or more death for the virus if the people go out? You need to keep the balance. I believe we will have more death in a lockdown than you going out, because somehow or another you need to face this crisis. Somehow or another you need to fight this virus. Fight it with vitamin C, vitamin D. Fight it with the blood. Fight. Fight him with anything, but fight the virus. So if you put the balance, okay, the balance is, if I put people in lockdown, they're gonna go crazy. They wanna kill their wives. They wanna commit suicide. I've seen it in Pakistan. I see a lot of people dying. One woman killed her 3 children. Because they said there's no hope, hopelessness, come, recession and depression. Can I hear an amen, people? So we will see an increase of violence. So the effects of the people, and these are some effects that happen. And you see those effects. So the greatest security against the virus is an unchanging God. Can I hear an amen, people? So now, we understand, what is the origin of this crisis? I want you to write it down. So you saw the effects. We all been affected by this virus. Don't tell me no. We all been affected financially, emotionally, spiritually. We've been affected somehow or another. And somebody said, some felt it less because they've been obeying God. Some felt it less because they practiced the sermon and the message I preached them. And some people don't feel it. For example, there's we got churches in 60 countries. And one of the countries, my pastors in charge of that region said to me, Apostle, they called me yesterday, one of my sons, and they said, their churches are being preserved, my churches, they're being preserved, and from one denomination, 100 pastors died in one day. 100, and there was a denomination, the leader and a pastor died the same day. And my people are saying, thank God, God has preserved us. Maybe you don't feel it because you said, well, you don't feel it because there is a presence in this ministry. There's a covenant. We have a covenant with God. There's a mantle in my life. There's the presence. There's the glory. There's the blood. I taught you how to apply the blood. And that's why you are saved. You and your children, I say. Praise God to be the glory. So many of you, so do you understand? Now we go to the origin. What is the origin of crisis? Where does it come from? Okay, now I just told you, some come from self-imposed. From yourself, because of stupid decisions. Number 2, come from the devil. And number 3, comes from God. What I'm saying from God, God will allow, not that God has virus in heaven, but God will allow things to come. And God will allow something for a reason. God will allow something for a reason. He does things. If you're not a spiritual, you will not understand the purposes, the plan, and the will of God and the times we are living in now. You will not understand it. You will say, no, you're wrong, Apostle, because you are in another dimension. You'll not be able to understand how God, what God is thinking, what God has allowed this to come. This crisis, This is global crisis has affected 190 nations, has affected families. Families had died in crisis. Businesses, Warren Buffett lost $50 billion, I think, just in 1 second. Because crisis affects recession and depression. The psyche of the nation is in crisis. And people are looking for solutions. But they come to church, but we don't have power. They come to church, we don't have the presence. So what is the origin? You want to hear it? We got 5 minutes. The crisis, what is the origin? I want you to write it down. This is a very powerful statement. The power of a thing is in its origin. The power of a thing is in its origin. If you know the power of a thing, you will know how much power that thing has. And two, you will be able to deal with it. Nothing just come to your life from the dust or from the earth. Oh, I am suffering a depression. Where did that come from? From your bloodline? What did I come from? The spirit of fear that came because you were open to it? Just don't think things just come for coming. Things are not coming just from the dust and from the ground. Affliction comes from a root. And the root, we have to understand the power of a thing is in its origin. If we know the origin, we know how to deal with it. And the origin of this crisis is spiritual. So that's why we cannot deal with natural means. It has to be spiritual means. Can I hear an amen, people? Thank you. Okay, so is the origin, where does this come from? Where did this a crisis that we're facing now come from? Why God has allowed? So I want you to understand, to deal with the thing, we need to know the root. How? And is this crisis taking place now? Is of the devil or of God? So the origin of this crisis is in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 9. I've been speaking to you for the last 10 years. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 9. Remember, I told you there's a shaking coming. Remember? So Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is in a little while, I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. Everything will be shaken. Verse 7, and I will shake all the nations, all 190 nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, says the Lord of hosts. I want you to write it down. The cause, in other words, God, the cause of this, or the origin of this crisis, of this virus, is from God. Not that God brought the virus. He doesn't have virus in heaven. He allowed this to happen. Why? Write it down. Because the corruption of the heart of men. Two, the wickedness of men. Three, the shedding of innocent blood. The cup is filled. And God don't turn the TV on. And God has allowed this virus. Somebody said, but some people said it was created in China. Well, whether it was created by man or not, God allowed it because he's in control. But he allowed it because the root cause, it didn't come from the dust. Yeah, it came from a lab. Yeah, God allowed it. Because what happened is God has to... The cause is the shaking of God because the corruption of men in this judgment. So this is the judgment of God to the world and to the apostate church. The world is under judgment. Can you say it again, Apostle? Yes. I want you to say it again. The origin of this crisis is a shaking. God shook everything. And God said, let me just allow this virus to come because I want to get the attention of men because of their corruption in government, corruption in both parties, corruption in the state, corruption in the church, corruption everywhere. And God said, wickedness of men, I want to bring attention to man that man is under judgment. So this is so powerful. Say amen to that. Say to me, so what are you saying, Apostle? So so if this virus come from God, how can we need to respond? So if this crisis from God, so we need to, how do we respond to it? We don't submit to the virus. We pray it against the virus. Because when the people of Israel, when the plagues of Egypt, 12 plagues of Egypt was released upon Egypt. But God says the people of Israel was there too. So when the storm hits both houses. I'm going to say it again. And let's go to Matthew 7:24. When the storm hits both houses. Oh, what do you mean? Give me 10 more minutes. So he said, therefore, whosoever hear this saying, and mind and does them. In other words, lift your hands and say, hear and do. Lift your hands and say, hear and do. Hear and do. In other words, you need to hear what I'm saying, what I'm preaching to you. You need to obey my teaching and Jesus' teaching. So he said, do. It will like unto man, a wise man, and a build his house upon the rock. Okay, number 25. And then he said, quickly. And then rain descended. Okay, I want you to read it with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Quickly, I want you to see something. The rain descended. The flood came. The winds blew and beat upon the house and fell not, and it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears this saying, this saying and my thing shall not be likened unto the foolish man who built a house upon the sand. And the rain descended. Okay, the same thing that hit one house, that one that was obeying God, that one that heard the message, the one that said, oi, I'm obeying God, I am taking my vitamins, I am praying, I am watching, and the same thing hit the house too. Oh, and then the same floods, winds blew against the house and beat the house and fell. And a great was fall of it. The other one didn't fell. So verse 28. What does that mean? And it came to pass. What does that mean? This is the revelation. We are not immune and exempt of the storm, of being hit by the storm. In other words, the unbeliever and the believer, the same thing, flood, wind, they hit the house. What was the difference? Come on, I can't hear you. I say, I can't hear you. What was the difference? What was the difference? I say, what was the difference? Believers are affected by the storms, by crisis. No matter who you are, you will have a day of a crisis. So this is the issue. The two houses were hit by the storm, but both were affected. We all been affected. But the survival in crisis depend on your foundation. Your foundation is what? Your foundation is when you hear the word and obey it, you will be like rock. You will build on the rock. Storm, crisis, sickness, depression, anxiety, fear will hit you, and you will say, I will not fear. My God is with me. When storm hits you, you will stand and you will say, I believe God. I believe God. Can you give a shout to Jesus? Can you give a shout to Jesus? So what's the difference? The difference was their foundation. How do you cave? How do you dig your foundation? You hear and obey. Nothing of any promises of God is yours until you hear it and obey it. For every effect, for every effect of the crisis, anxiety, fear, sickness, there is a promise. I didn't say that. I said there is a promise to you. I am talking to you, those that are watching my internet. There is a promise for your sickness, disease, poverty. There is a promise. Somebody needs to answer to this. There is. Somebody needs to say amen. There is an answer of the promise. What do you do? Hear it and obey it. 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 Many of you are complaining. Many of you are complaining. The issue you have in your heart is because you are bitter, you are offended, and because you are offended, you are blaming other people. It's your fault that you don't practice, you don't obey the word of God. Put your hand together. I said, 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 put your hand together. Oh, Shema Remanda. Oh, Shereve Kobrebanda. Yebrohunda Hasta. Oh, I'm going to finish with this powerful revelation. James 1:22. He said, don't blame other people because your crisis didn't come from the dust. Is it that you didn't do your responsibility? Is it that you didn't obey? Is it that you didn't humble? Is it that you never asked for forgiveness? Is it because you have bad eating habits? Is it that you are careless? Look what he said in 7:24. Yeah, and then he said, and by the doers of the word, no hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you come out of this place and you think because you learned something, you are already obeying it, you are deceived. You need to take the word and say, that word is mine. No promise of God is yours unless you obey it. Unless you do it. Unless you experience it. The Lord said to you, don't worry for nothing. You say, yeah, but let me worry a little bit. Don't worry, period. Matthew 6:32, what do you mean? Well, there is a promise. You need to obey and do. 6:32. And listen to what he said. You need to be in the spirit when I said it. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow. Yeah, but let me worry a little bit. Do and obey. Don't worry. cast out that thinking, cast out that thought, and say, in the name of Jesus, I will not worry for what the doctor said. I'm not going to worry about the five finances. My God is my provider. I wish I could hear an amen. My God is my source. So what's the issue? I'm finishing. Oh my God. Sorry, I took another too long. Matthew 7:24. I'm finishing. And then I need to minister. The Lord said to me, there's people that will be delivering your message. There are people being delivered now. Because a lot of people don't obey. The moment you obey, that is yours. And you found it on the rock. You obey, you say, the Bible said, don't fear. Why are you afraid? The Bible says, you live by faith, not by sight. What are you hearing in the news then? What are you believing? What reports would you believe? God's reports or the fake news report? Oh, shake it up. Two people, two men, a wise one, verse 25. And then he said, verse 26. And the one that hear this thing saying and not do them, because he's deceived. He think, how I do it. And then he said, shall be likened unto a foolish man. One wise, if you hear any message in your discipleship, in the church, everywhere you go, you hear the word. And you practice it. You hear one of my books, you hear another book, and you hear it. You go to the Bible, and then you say, you know what? I will live it. I will practice. The Bible says, watch and pray. Have you practiced it? The Bible says, pray daily. Have you practiced it? The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of the brother. Are you doing it? Are you obeying it? No, I don't want to come to church. Well, you disobey. You don't hear and obey. And then afterwards, you want God to come in your rescue. Because you're disobeying. So you are founded on the sand. And then he said, oh, this is powerful. A foolish man. Say it. Who is a foolish man? The one that hear the word but don't practice it. They just want knowledge. Especially this generation. This generation. Come on, keep connected, those that are watching. This generation, they want knowledge. Oh, that sounds deep. That sounds deep. I want deep messages. Deep for what? And you don't even live what you know. This generation is in love of knowledge. That is being westernized. We want more falling knowledge than the knowledge of the word of God. And we want knowledge just to, because we got itching ears. Come on, generation. Itching ears. I want something new. I want something that sounds deep. But sounds deep, but you depressed. Sounds deep, but you have thoughts of suicidal. Sounds deep, but you're sick. You don't want sound deep. You want to be free. You want to be delivered. You want a word that when you practice it, you are free. You are healed. You are delivered. My God, I feel the anointing. I'm sorry, I'm taking time on my ministry. Can I hear an amen, people? Can you shout? Oh, yeah, that sounds deep. There is a blessing in the other side of the pain. One was foolish. Matthew 25:26. And I finish, I promise you. I didn't tell you how to respond to crisis. I need to continue tonight. You need to be connected. And don't disconnect when you're going to do the offering. You're disobeying. Don't disconnect when I'm going to minister. Somebody said, but I'm not sick. Yeah, but you need to know how to respond to crisis. Because with the both houses hit with the same thing. But one standing and the other one is falling. The other one fell. Why? Because one heard and obey, and the other one practiced it. But this is so powerful. the one that was, his house was crushed because he was foolish. The word foolish, write it down. Because in King Jesus' family, there's no one single foolish. Foolish means neglect. Foolish means careless. Foolish means wicked. Foolish means careless. The Lord said to me, he said, in one moment of carelessness, the enemy will hit a house. In one moment of careless, you gain 30 pounds. You don't take care of your body. Careless means somebody that is disconnected, somebody that doesn't care, somebody that is careless. And the Lord said to me, lots of people were praying, fasting, having vitamins, and they got the virus. They're holy people because both were hit. What was the difference? They got healed and they got ready now to fight. The other ones died. And what made the difference? There was a moment of carelessness that can destroy your marriage. A moment of carelessness of not being praying, the enemy can come and hit you. Not necessarily you are in sin of stealing, adultery, fornication, or you are the sins, all the sins of the church. No. Carelessness is a sin that breaks covenant. Don't be careless. Those that are watching, don't be careless on your body. Watch what you eat. Don't be careless in your spiritual life. Watch and pray. Don't be careless and live in the word. As you said, I practiced that message another day. And then storm hit you. You must be wise. This crisis comes from God. The shaking allow this virus to come for men to repent. Because the wickedness, because the corruption, because the shedding of the innocent blood has come into God's nostrils. And the response to crisis in your life is always, listen to me, is always through repentance. Always through repentance. Lift your hands to Jesus. I wish I had more time. Lift your hands to Jesus. How many of you know that your crisis didn't come from the dust? Your affliction didn't come from nowhere. Your affliction has a root. And if you God allow that, it's for you to say, let me check my personal life. I need to repent. Every eye closed, every hands up. Those that are watching, repentance is not talk and taught in the United States. I'm going to say something powerful. Don't turn the TV on, off. And lift your hands, everybody. When the church in the United States repent, the virus will stop. When the church, the priest of God repent, if we don't repent, those that are watching online, If we don't repent, that virus is gonna go around and around and around and around. And we're gonna get to Rosh Hashanah, September, with the virus. Make sure you do your part. If there's any crisis in your body, soul, spirit, family, business, job, I just want you to lift your hand. This is a matter of priority. I'm going to lead you into a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me, those that are watching by the internet, those that are watching online and television. If there's anything in crisis in your life, and you say, what careless act opened the door for the enemy to come? Not necessarily a sin of killing somebody, but being careless in one area of your life, the enemy will come and hit. So lift your hands to Jesus. Repeat after me out loud. Say with me, all those that are watching, Father God.
Father God.
And in the name of Jesus, say, I come before you. Louder, please. I come before you.
I recognize
and acknowledge my personal sins. Iniquities, injustice, and I ask you, my Lord, to cleanse me with your blood. Say it louder, cleanse me with your blood. Right now, I repent for any act of carelessness in my personal life that I gave the enemy legality to attack my life, my environment, my family, my business, my children. Lord Jesus, I repent with all my heart. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me with your blood. Amen and amen. Now lift your hands and say with me, Father God, louder, Father God, I take responsibility as a priest and a king. Say, as a priest and a king, I take responsibility for the sins of my family, for the sins of my city, for the sins of the United States, the sins of my nation. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash and forgive this nation. I ask you, Lord, and we repent. Say, we repent for the sin of racism. We repent. Come on, priest, you need to say it. We repent for the shedding of blood. Innocent blood in this nation. Lord, we repent. Say, we repent for the sin of greed. Father, we repent for the child pornography, for the sin of domestic abuse. Forgive us, Lord, and cleanse this nation. Stop this virus. As we repent as a church, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you put your hand together? Listen, people, two things. Look at me. If you want to stop a crisis dead on track, always repent. Even if it's not your responsibility. When America and the church in America and another country repents, God will stop this virus. Two, any other crisis you have, repentance is what stops judgment. Three, There are family members, they are already due for judgment because they've been blaspheming God, they've been rejecting God. But if there's someone that repent for them, God will delay judgment. Okay, I want you to close your eyes for a moment quickly. The Spirit of God, I cannot leave this place unless I give an opportunity. And I'm going to pray. All my elders and my pastors, I want you to stand and help me. And we're going to pray for the people, like sending the word. How many of you are facing crisis today? And you're saying, Apostle, I am facing emotional depression, sickness, any crisis of any kind. I want you to lift your hands quickly. One, two, three, quickly. And I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. And this is what we're going to do. Guys, you're going to go as a sign. You're not going to pray, lay hands. You're going to do is you join with me in my prayer and release, stand like 6 feet and declare over them. And declare, listen, we're going to break the power of any spirit in that crisis. And we're going to release victory. So we're going to pray in tongues. When I say three, you stand before somebody 6 feet and you declare the word with me. One, two, three, go. Go. I'm going to ask Apostle Frank, can you help me to minister and the people that are watching by the internet? You minister to them. Oh, no, you know what? I pray. Father, in the name, can you pray in the Holy Ghost? Come on, let's go. I need help. I want you to, those that are standing and those that are watching by the internet, I want you to stand in your house and lift your hands before the Lord, and I want you to appropriate of the victory of the cross. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Everybody praying in the Holy Ghost. Because we're going to enforce the victory. That's the key word. We're going to enforce the victory. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against every demonic power. I come against any spirit of the coronavirus. I come against any spirit of fear, anxiety. I come against any spirit of depression. Everybody praying. I prepare you for war. I prepare you for the time we're living in. Come on, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you are a member, if you're a disciple, I want you to stand before somebody and declare too. Stand and declare. You don't have to be an apostle, a teacher. You just stand and declare. We're going to pray for one another. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ, I bind every demonic spirit that is producing circumstances around your health, around your marriage, around your finances. And I bind every demonic power in the name of Jesus. I command you, loose those minds. Loose spirit of depression. Those that are watching in America, those that are watching in other countries, I bind the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. Come out. Anxiety, come out. Fear, come out. Sickness, come out. I bind every spirit of sickness in recession right now. People that are in depression, suicidal thoughts, in the name of Jesus, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' mighty name. Hopelessness, fear, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit that is sick with this virus, and I command in the name of Jesus every person with this virus, come out, come out now. I set you free. Every symptom is gone now. Gone in Jesus' name. Gone. Peter, God is setting you free from depression. God is setting you free from depression. Come on, elders. Come on, deacon. Come on, disciple. Declare over the person in front of you. Declare in tongues. Declare. Command that circumstance to be broken. I break the power of that impossible circumstance. I break the power of any crisis in your marriage. I break the power, any crisis in your finances. I break the power by faith. Now, 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 now. Come on, take it, break it. Every person in this building, break the power, break the power, break the power, break the power of your impossibility. Break the power. Bow your knee against any impossible circumstance. Bow its knee against you right now. In Jesus' name, I bind every spirit of death. I bind every spirit of depression in the nation. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I set you free now. Free now. You are free. If you're sick in your body, take your healing now. 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 Be healed. Arthritis, be healed. Diabetes, be healed. Cancer, right now, be healed. Be healed of cancer now, in Jesus' name. Heart condition, be healed. If you have heart condition, be healed. Blood condition, be healed. Kidney, liver, be healed. Come on, declare, guys. Declare, 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 declare for your brother. Declare, 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 declare right now in Jesus' mighty name. It is done. The victory of the cross is in force. Amen and amen. Give Jesus a big prayer.
Is anybody in this place at the sound of our voice, church, if you can pray? This is an important time. And there's people right now that maybe you've gone astray, or maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Church, if you can help me pray. And you came into this place, and God has a purpose and a destiny for you. Maybe you came with hurt. Maybe you came with unforgiveness, like Apostle said. Maybe you came with bitterness in your heart. Maybe you don't know how to feel that bitterness. This is the day of salvation. This is the day where Jesus calls you by name, and he calls you to come into the feet of Jesus. Maybe you're Catholic, maybe you're Buddhist, maybe you have a religion. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe you say, yeah, but I'm a good person. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done anything. Well, we all are sinners and we come short of the glory of God. If you're in this place and you have a need in your heart, maybe you feel empty, maybe you feel void in your heart. Maybe you try to fill it with drugs, alcohol, illicit sex. Maybe you try different things, but the Spirit of God is here to fill your heart. Maybe you have a need. Maybe you came with necessity in your heart. The Spirit of God is here. Our apostle was saying that this is not the time to look for anything else but Jesus Christ. And if you're in this place and you feel that condition, you feel that emptiness, you feel lonely, you feel like your heart, it can't be filled with anything. You've tried women, you've tried money, you've tried everything, and nothing fills your heart. Well, you came to the right place. Jesus is here to fill your heart. If you're here in this place and you say, prophet, I want to receive Jesus. Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. At the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. And if you're watching on the internet, Jesus is here. The presence of God is here. You need to lift up your hands at the count of three. One, two, three. Lift up your hands. One, two, three. God bless you. God bless you in the back. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Three hands in the back. God bless you. Anybody else that says, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I left the ways of God, but I want to come back. God bless you over here. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. At the count of three, join the hands that are lifted. One, two, three. Lift up your hands. Church, help me pray. Help me pray. Lift up your hands quickly, quickly. Now, I want to do this calling, and we have a procedure here at the house. We want you to take the next step of faith, and we want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three, quickly. If you lifted your hands in the first or second calling, we want to pray for you. If you're depressed, God bless you in the back. Stand, 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 stand. God bless you. Stand, 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 quickly, quickly, quickly. Come up to the front. We want to pray for you. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Come up, come up, come up. We want to do a prayer for you. Come on, church, help me out. Quickly, come up to the front. If you stood in the first or the second calling, come up to the front. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I see people that were standing. Come up to the front. Come on, come up to the front. If you lifted your hands in the first or the second calling, I saw a couple people that lifted up their hands. I don't know if you're back there. Quickly, 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 come up to the front. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, church, put your hands together. You can do better than that. Come on. If there's anybody else, you've been struggling with alcoholism, you've been going through hard times, come to the front, come to the front, come to the front. Come on, church, put your hands together. If you're watching on the internet, we want you to make this prayer. Say with me, Father God, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, I accept you in my heart, and I believe with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, Lord, for eternal life. I leave my wicked ways. I thank you, God, and I open my heart to this new life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you made this prayer, we want you to contact us. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in. If you were blessed by this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. If you need prayer, we have a team ready to pray for you. Just call the number 305-382-3171. 305-382-3171. If you would like more content that empowers your faith, visit King Jesus TV. Again, King Jesus TV. I love you. God bless you.